This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We'll get to all the questions. I will talk about that NPR PBS executive order thing from a little bit earlier today. I'll talk about that. We'll get to some parenting stuff, the Democrat Party being unpopular, making fun of Chuck Schumer, all that. And so much more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. The reason I haven't gone into the NPR PBS thing, in case you don't know what that thing is, Trump signed an executive order today that said, hey, no more taxpayer money for that. Sorry. Well, I like that he did it. I applaud him for doing it. Good for Trump. That's good. The idea is good. All of it's good. But again, it comes back to what we talked about earlier. Congress has to address this problem. Congress has to address this problem. All the Doge in the world, all the executive orders in the world trying to claw back all this fraudulent money doesn't do us any good if Congress turns around and passes another $1 trillion bloated bill with all kinds of garbage in it. It doesn't do us any good. We're still stuck where we were. That's my point. Hey, Jesse. We have 5 and 7-year-old daughters. My wife is set on a Disney trip next year. She's on the right, but not a diehard anti-commie like myself. I have a severe aversion to giving Disney money. I lost the battle on the Disney Plus, but should I die on this hill or roll over? It's starting to cause some issues. You can use my name. My name is James. I don't know about dying on any hills, but you should stop rolling over. I'll tell you what might help. It might help. Maybe show your wife the video of the Little Princess store in Disney, which last time I saw a video of it, it was a dude with a beard pretending to be a woman welcoming little girls into the princess store. This is the stuff that we're all guilty of this. Dudes, too. It's not just women, either. But we take things that traditionally we have loved or things that when it comes to our kids, because our kids are going to take such a high priority in our lives. Mine, too. Right? Such a high priority in our lives. The Disney Plus thing, I had to have that talk with my boys when they were in peak superhero age. Yeah, everything was Captain America and the Incredible Hulk. You know, they're boys, right? And I had to tell them, Disney Plus is gone. And this is why. Period. And I made them sit and watch me cancel it. There, I canceled it. This is why. This is what we believe as a family. Disney is one of the most evil companies on the planet, specifically because they're a children's company trying to warp children's minds. And we do not fund Disney in this house. I won't pay for it. Period. End of story. We cut it off. You got to put your foot down. Other is to it. You have to put your foot down. It can be hard when it's for your kids, right? Because when you're a parent, Disney, kids love it. They want to watch the stuff and then they want to go ride the princess rides. Look, I've been to Disney, right? Before it got terrible. I know. We did it for the same reasons. Well, we want to take our kids to Disney World. How much are the tickets? We road tripped it there. I've done it. That's where I smashed my ear. Remember that, Chris, when I told you that story about smashing my ear and freaking anywhere? Remember that? Oh, you don't remember that. Oh, well, here was the story. We go to Disney, where I just told you not to go. This is 10 years ago, probably. We go to Disney. We do a couple days at Disney, 2 or 3 days. You can't believe how expensive it is. Just the tickets to get in, it's unreal. Anyway, we do two, three days at Disney. And I have this thing about me. Where it is not a good thing at all. Travel shortens my temper. I don't know, some kind of personality flaw. I like to be organized and settled. Okay? What, Chris? What? I don't have a temper, Chris. I don't have it. I do not have a big, I do not have a bad temper. I do not. It depends on the, no, my fuse is only short with technology and things like that. That doesn't count. Anyway, I need to be settled. I like to be settled. So when we're going somewhere, I want to get out the door. Okay. I want the bags packed. I want to get out the door. I want to be at the airport on time. I want to get through security. If we're road tripping or even once we get someplace, I get this from my father. My dad was the same way. I really can't relax until we are checked in, bags checked in. I like to go ahead and get the hygiene kit, get your toothbrush laid out. I don't know why. I'm not settled until I feel like that. If it's a road trip, I want to get on the road. Once I'm on the road, I'm okay. It's not like I'm screaming the whole time. I want to get in the car. I want the bags in the car. And I want to make good time. I want to be on the road. I don't know what that is, but I have that. So the morning we're checking out of Disney. And the boys are young, remember, at this time. Gosh, they're 5 and 7, something like that. This is a while ago. Ob says, hey, I know you're in a hurry. She's the same way. She's like, I'm in a hurry. Let me take the boys down and get them some breakfast in the lobby of the hotel. They had a free continental breakfast. You get the bags loaded up. We'll meet at the car. We'll leave. Yeah, sounds good. I load the bags on the cart. I'm hauling everything down myself. She's taking the kids to breakfast. I'm in the parking lot. And we had a Tahoe, a Yukon. We had a Chevy Yukon at the time, or GMC Yukon, an SUV. And so you know how the back hatch opens on an SUV. Well, this one, I think it was a 2014, this one had one of those settings on it where it could open only 3/4 of the way. This was for people who have garages. So if you open it up the whole way, it won't touch the top of the garage or scrape the top of the garage. So it doesn't, I would say it would open, when you have the 3/4 setting on, I would say it would open even with the roof of the car. So the back hatch would open. You could get in it. But remember, I'm 6'8". I stick out above the roof of the car. I get out to the parking lot. It's hot. It's really hot. It's Orlando. It's really hot. Sweaty. I'm grabbing our bags and I'm chucking them in the back of this Yukon, getting the bags organized so we can get ready to go. I don't know what happened. I lost sense of where I was or something. I turn and I grab one of our super big, our heavy bags. And so the car's on my left. I grab the bag. I bend down. It's on my right. And I grab the bag. And because it's heavy, I kind of, rip it out of there because I want to get some momentum to get it thrown into the back of the car. I rip it and I didn't realize how close I was to the edge of the back hatch that had opened up. I was right by it, and wham! I smashed the side of my head, the left side of my head, into that car, and it was my ear. And I smashed it so hard, I knew immediately I probably had a low-grade concussion. I'm seeing stars. I can't see clearly. This is in the middle of the parking lot, mind you. It's hot. I'm seeing stars so badly, I'm thinking, crap, I hope I don't go down. So I actually have to sit down here for a second just in case I lose consciousness. And I'm just kind of shaking the cobwebs out, trying to get it shaken out. As I shake my head, I can feel the warm trickle down the left side of my face. And I'm like, crap, I cut myself. So I reach up and I grab my ear, which is hurting really bad. Pull my hand down. My hand is full of blood. Oh, no. Now, I'm not only in pain, I'm feeling like we're going to be delayed when we leave. And I just told you what a big deal that is for me. I don't have anything to stop the bleeding. I have to dig into the bag. Tell me, every doctor and nurse listening is about to freak out on me. I wasn't thinking clearly at the time. I stick my hands in a bag trying to get something to stop the bleeding so I can get up to the room. And I grab a dirty pair of underwear. At least it was my own. But it was the first thing I grabbed. It was a dirty pair of boxers. I grab it, pull it out, and I mash it against my ear. And I close the door, and I'm booking it back across the parking lot so I can get up to the hotel room and get my ear cleaned up and see if I need stitches and what's wrong. Now, remember, I'm 6'8". I'm huge. I am 6'8". I have blood all down the left side of my face and my neck. And I'm holding a dirty pair of underwear against my ear. I press the button to the elevator. I get on the elevator. I'm by myself. You can imagine what I look like at this point in time. This lovely looking, adorable young couple, obviously newly married and on their honeymoon. They get onto the elevator, and both of them were about 5 feet tall. They get on and they press the floor button and they look up at me, and they very clearly thought they were about to be beaten to death and robbed in the elevator. As far as you can get away from somebody inside of an elevator, that's how far they buried themselves in the opposite corner of where I was as I sat there trying not to look at them with dirty underwear on my ear, bleeding profusely. There. Now are you ready to go to not go to Disney? This is why you don't go to Disney. You'll hurt your ear there. Anyway, you need better employees. That's why you need to go to ZipRecruiter. Did you know that? You have an employee who's dragging you down, like Chris does. This is why you need to replace them. But how do you? It's hard to find good people. I know it is. ZipRecruiter makes it super easy because they have ZipIntro now. ZipIntro, it's speed dating for potential employees. You sign up today. You go post your job today. Tomorrow, you will have video calls courtesy of ZipIntro back to back. Just 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Hey, let me meet you, get to know you. Sounds good. Next one. Let me meet you, get to know you. Next one. I wished I'd had that before we signed Corey up. You want a better employee? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Like this email. I love this guy. Subject of this one is cease and desist. Absolutely unnecessary and inappropriate to constantly say Jewish producer Chris. Would you like to be referred to as Goyim talk show host Jesse? There's no need to bring attention to someone's religion unless you're a proponent of DEI. How long have you listened to the show, you loser? If you listen to the show for any length of time, you would know that, one, telling me not to say something is just a guaranteed way to get me to say it even more. Wouldn't you agree, Jewish producer Chris? That's one. Two, if you listen to the show for any length of time, you would know I don't give a crap what you call me. You can call me anything. You can call me the worst thing in the world. Unlike you, I don't get offended. Unlike you, I have testosterone, and it doesn't matter what you say to me. You could insult my face, my wife, my religion, my kids, but you could insult anything, and it doesn't matter to me because your opinion is not one that I value at all. You cannot offend me. It's not humanly possible to offend me. And if I offend you, it's not humanly possible to get me to care about that. You realize that? How long have you listened to this show? Dear or Dr. Pit Boss Jesse, do you ever go to Brazilian barbecue? It's the first place I've ever experienced legitimate meat sweats. Binge eating meat, rapid fire is the best. All right. So here's the thing about me. Food. You are well aware, if you listen to the show, unlike that other dork, you are well aware that I have what Ob calls an unhealthy obsession with food. I know this is true. I admit this. I do not celebrate it. I'm not saying I'm okay. Food, I actually get my mood from food. Realize that? If I have a wonderful meal, it puts me in a good mood. And it's not just being hungry. If I have a bad meal, I will be sour about it for hours. Hours. Chris is, quit nodding your head, Chris. Sorry you have to live it. Anyway. Food's a big deal to me. Because food is a big deal to me, when I eat, it's like the one thing, it's one of the only things that you can really, really get to me on. In fact, when I was in the Marines, for instance, you know, you're always playing pranks on each other, doing horrible things to each other, but it was known, don't mess with my food. Do not mess with my food. And when I'm eating, I will not consider it funny. If you do something like you grab my peanut butter cracker that I just peanut buttered and you throw it in the sand, we will fight. And I really mean it. I'll get up and I'll sock you right in the mouth. That's how I was back then. Don't mess with my food. It matters that much to me. Because of that, I have certain things that I don't like about restaurants. You know the restaurants, like the Hooters type restaurants where they sell, you know, the young ladies, the pretty young ladies are bringing you food. I hate those restaurants. You know why? It's not because I don't like pretty young ladies, right? It's fine. That's fine. I'm not gay. I get it. I don't want to be bothered. I don't care about her. I care about my food. I want to eat good food. Leave me alone. You're annoying. Bring me a good plate of food. That's what I want. Food. I'm there to eat. That's why I'm there. If I'm going to spend the money, steakhouse money is big money, man. For any more, if you take two people cost you $150, you go out to a steakhouse. It costs that much money. If you're going to do anything but just eat a steak, if you want an appetizer or a salad or a cocktail or something, you're dropping $150, $200. That's real money. I don't want to be bothered the whole freaking meal. If I'm spending that much money, no, I don't want to meet the next 85 people with the newest plate of meat. I don't want all the noise and the shouting. I want to sit down. I want to order the slice of meat. I want a ribeye, and I want you to bring it to me, and then I want you to leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want what, Chris, what? Oh, you've never been to one? Here's how a Brazilian steakhouse works. And this is just a personal preference. The food, I've only been in, I think, one, maybe two. The food is amazing, okay? I'm not dogging on the food. But how it works is you pay steakhouse prices because it's high-quality meat. The one I went to, I think it was Fogo de Chao. This was when I was selling RVs. They took us out. They had the most amazing salad bar you've ever seen, but that's not my thing. For meat, you sat down, and what happens is it's really loud. It's not quiet. There are guys, waiters, who have huge cuts of meat, quantities of meat on a tray. They go around, bouncing around from table to table, and you have, at least the one I went to, you have two paddles you can hold up. If you want some of it, you hold up a paddle. Bring me some. If you don't want any, you hold up the other paddle. No, stop. I don't want any. You are constantly having to give feedback to the waiter. Bring me more. No, I don't want more. And like I said, because it's loud, because everyone's talking and all this other stuff the entire time. If I'm dropping $75 a person on dinner, oh, Chris, it's at least that. It's at least that. You leave me alone. Now, I wasn't paying this night. Again, I was selling RVs. They took us all out. I wasn't complaining about a free meal. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm paying, if I'm dropping $75 a pop for dinner, kindly do not yell at me the whole time. And I don't want to have to talk to you the whole time. Bring me one cut of meat and let me enjoy my one cut of meat, okay? I don't care if it's the Brazilian bikini team bringing around steaks. Leave me alone. I am eating. That's my point. Now, let's talk about what your dog eats. Because your dog doesn't get the nutrition you get. He doesn't get the salad bar and the steaks and the eggs and the fruits and the vegetables. In fact, your dog doesn't ever get nutrition ever because your dog gets dog food. There is no nutrition in dog food. It's empty calories. It is equivalent to you eating fast food every meal. Delicious? Yes, that's why your dog likes it. Nutritious? No, there's nothing in it. Nothing. That's the only way they can get it to stay so long at the shelf, on the shelf. They kill everything in it. Start sprinkling Rough Greens on your dog's food so your dog can be healthier. The difference you'll see in your dog's coat, that may be what you see first. You will notice a difference and you'll think, wow, well, yeah, your dog's finally getting vitamins and minerals and probiotics and all the things he needs. You want your dog to live longer? Rough Greens. Free Jumpstart trial bags are available at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Let's make fun of Chuck Schumer. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. A fantastic day as we get ready to sail off into the weekend. Old Chuck Schumer probably wanted to sail off into the weekend after this little Q&A.
The polls this week show Trump has the lowest 100-day approval rating since they started polling 80 years ago. The lowest. Yes.
There's a poll out today that has your approval rating lower than any other congressional leader at 17%. Are you concerned that you may be a liability for your party?
Polls come and go. Our party is united. We're on our front foot. We're stepping forward.
Donald Trump's approval is unbelievably low. This is crazy. Hey, polls show you're like the least popular person. Anyway, polls come and go. Look, these people, don't you get tired of the deception of all of it? Isn't it annoying sometimes? I find it to be really, really annoying, extremely annoying. Hey, Jesse, with the meltdown of the left due to the judge being arrested and the media portraying it as the end of democracy, comparing the Trump administration to 1930s Germany, do you think they are trying to activate their street animals for war? It just feels like they're trying to further enrage their base more than usual. Well, there are two things. There are two things happening here. Remember when, what was that? Why don't you say that lady's name, Chris Jaya Powell or whatever? Remember when she said they need to be street ready? Grab that audio when she said we got to be street ready. Two things are happening with the way they're talking. He's a Nazi. We need to be street ready. Oh, go ahead. Play it. Go ahead.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting a strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
What's she saying? We talked about it when she said it. Why'd she go into all that risk tolerance stuff, strike ready and street ready? She's talking about communist street animals committing acts of crime, and that comes with risks. She's putting out the word, who is willing to risk being arrested on behalf of the revolution? Now, why do they talk like that? What's going on here? Well, it's kind of another one of those self-licking ice cream cone things, because the necessity comes from both sides, the elites and the streets. Here's what I mean. Communist street animals, they're always upset, always bitter, always ravenous. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, do you find her to be a pleasant, content person? Whatever liberal Aunt Peggy you have in your life, co-worker, mom, brother, whatever, do you find them to be happy, content individuals? Or are they anxiety-ridden disasters? Yeah, they're disasters. They're always like that. And Donald Trump has been burned into their minds since 2015. So that's a decade of programming that he is the height of all evil, that he's a Nazi, that whatever, all the stupid stuff they say about Donald Trump, that has been burned into liberal Aunt Peggy's mind. Because it's been burned into his mind, liberal Aunt Peggy looks at her leaders in the House and the Senate. She looks at Democrats, Democrat governors and AGs, and she is demanding, do something. You have to stop him. There's a Nazi. Why aren't you stopping him? She is passing her demands up there. And that translates into them, the elites, using that language to try to, one, make sure liberal Aunt Peggy is engaged in politics, but two, they know liberal Aunt Peggy demands that they speak like that. They have whipped her into an anxiety-ridden frenzy, even worse than normal. She thinks a Nazi's in charge and it's the end of the world, and she needs to hear Chuck Schumer call him a Nazi. She needs to hear what a Nazi antichrist he is. She needs to know that you are as committed to stopping this Nazi as I am. Like I said, a self-licking ice cream cone. They go back, both divisions of communism go back and forth with the elites encouraging the streets, and then the streets encouraging the elites back and forth and back and forth and back and forth without end. Dear Jesse, with the Democrat Party being so unpopular in the polls, why hasn't some other party stepped in to fill the void? Her name is Denise. Well, one, that's a hot chick name. Chris, did you know that? What, Chris? It is. Two, parties, political parties, they create their own power structure. Why hasn't there become a new party that steps in now that the Democrat Party's unpopular? Well, eventually, if the Democrat Party popularity stayed low, eventually a new party would form. It would rise. But what's happened, and libertarians and Green Party people and these various third parties who've tried to rise up and take power, they've been running headlong into this power structure for a long time. I can actually see all the libertarians listening nodding their heads. You run into this power structure problem where all our politics is centered really around these two political parties. The media is invested in it. The government itself is invested in it. And so everything kind of keeps things right where it is. And both political parties, that's the one thing they both agree on. They don't want a third option. They don't want a third option to pop up. And so, for instance, on things like presidential debates, look, they'll hold the Democrat presidential debate where all the Democrats are trying to be the nominee. Where is that held? Some fancy music hall and covered on MSNBC News. And then a week later, the Republican one held in some fancy auditorium and you can watch it live on CBS. Where's the Libertarian one? It's in the lobby of the Best Western and you have to log into some obscure YouTube channel to even look at it. The major TV networks participate in it. Oh, and by the way, that's just during the primary process. The Libertarians, I'm just using them as an example. I don't mean to pick on them. The Libertarians had a candidate too. I don't know who he was, or it doesn't matter, but they had a candidate too. Why wasn't he invited to debate with Donald Trump and Dome, or Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Why wasn't the Green Party invited on the stage? That's a political party. They had a nominee. Well, the entire political structure of the country, all of it, it's all invested, uniquely invested in there being Democrats and there being Republicans. A third party option rising is very, very difficult. And it's why you don't get third party candidates of any significance unless they're guys like Ross Perot who can essentially self-fund the whole thing because the money structure doesn't incentivize it either. The subject of this one is C- English student. Yep, that would be you, she said. Former Coast Guard Admiral, Communist Linda Fagan, is not pronounced Fagan. Fagan, phonetically, is pronounced Fagin. I had to listen to you incorrectly say it about seven cringeworthy times. I thought that being held back in the third grade would have been beneficial. Man, maybe she's right. Did I say Linda Fagan wrong? And then I, not only that, I went off on this long rant about all the different Fagans in the government, about how there are little Fagans everywhere we look. Fagan after Fagan after Fagan after Fagan after Fagan after Fagan after Fagan. But maybe she's right. Maybe I said it wrong. I don't think she is, though. I think I nailed it. If you disagree, maybe you're a Fagan. Have you taken a course yet from Hillsdale College? You know, Hillsdale has a course called Understanding Capitalism. You can watch it for free. You can do it this weekend. Maybe just one of the seven lectures on it. You want to learn about profit and loss? Human nature. Human nature is an important thing to take into account when you're building an economic system. Well, capitalism does that. Private property rights, rule of law. Do you want to know more than all your friends? Maybe a course on the ancient Christian church, the Roman Republic. Hillsdale offers these things to us for free. They're offering more than 40 free online courses. Free. Here's what you do. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. That's it. Go sign up. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. No cost. Log in, get started. You can go get smarter over the weekend. Sound like a plan? One more segment. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And that's Dr. Jesse Friday. I have to play a couple little things that I didn't get to before we try to finish up with the questions here. This amazing little moment on CNN where Abby Phillip kind of has to cut to commercial break. Anna Navarro, she's debating this dude called Shermichael Singleton. He's a black dude. That'll come into play for the audio. It's just so, so good.
Can I, who have advocated Anna, for black people stop. My entire life, Anna, say something like that? Anna,
because you've damn advocated for black Anna, people, great, stop. Congratulations. Last time I checked, I'm black, you're not.
Okay, Shermichael.
That's right. I'm Latino and my people are being racially profiled.
It is.
And
do I have to remind you the history of my people?
Shermichael,
do I want to go there?
No, I don't.
Do you really
okay,
want to go there?
We're
going to
go to break. Raul, we're going to go to break. Raul Reyes, thank you very much for joining us. Everybody else,
my time.
We'll be right back.
When I was studying history,
I'm a bigger victim than you are. Gosh, that was so great. Hey, boot lover Jesse, you've had other hosts fill in on your show during your unfortunate absences. I find it refreshing, and I'm not sad to admit it's something sometimes a treat. You are busy during your occasional absences. I learned about a lot of good radio folks who I'd never listened to, and now I follow. My question is, have you ever filled in for another radio host? If not, why? Says his name is Jim Bob. Well, one, that's how they generally use whenever I'm gone. Remember, Premier, it's a huge radio syndication company. And it's like, this is kind of one of those things. I don't deserve to be here. It's a very rare thing. If you do what I do, you do talk radio for a living. Most people, 99% of people who do this, they will bust their butts their whole lives trying to get where I currently sit. And most people, it does not work out. And it's not because I'm better or anything like that. I just caught a lot of breaks and just, you know, life worked out that way. Okay. But Premier, as this big syndication company, they're always looking for the next one. They're always looking for the next one or a new one. I mean, what if I quit tomorrow? I'm not quitting, don't worry. But what if I quit tomorrow? What if Glenn Beck leaves, or Sean Hannity, or Clay or Buck, or something like that? They're always looking for the next one, right? Who's going to be the next one? And there are legions of mega talented people in various markets across the country, both smaller and larger, right? I mean, I know Howie Carr is no tiny thing, but Howie Carr, everyone on WRKO Boston knows Howie Carr. Howie Carr is insanely talented. Insanely talented. Just crazy talented, right? But a lot of people, if they're not listening to WRKO, may not know. That's one example. There are a million examples. Large cities like Boston, small towns of talented people who do radio. Premier's looking. So whenever they have an opportunity, whenever anybody's out, me, Clay, Glenn, whoever it may be, whenever anybody's out, that's an opportunity. Grab somebody, throw them on for 3 hours, see how he does. It makes all the sense in the world. And I love it. I love other people getting an opportunity to get out there. I'm a fan. I want everyone to succeed. Go get them. Do I do other shows? No. No. Not anymore. I've done a couple in the past, but not very many. It's just one of those things. It's not that I have anything against it. The opportunity kind of never landed in my lap when I was doing, you know, when I was starting. So it just kind of worked out that way. Jesse, you never really fessed up about your meat smoking technique. You did say it's a pellet type smoker. Please tell us it's not totally electric. Is it at least propane fired? Look, why does it matter where the power comes from? It's not important whether it's wood or it's what, Chris, what? No, it's not the same as an oven, Chris. This is different. You don't understand. One, I have to get the pellet smoker to temperature, meaning I have to press the power button, and then it has a couple knobs, not one, two knobs on it. One of the knobs is setting the temperature, and I have to adjust the temperature, and it has this little digital screen. I have to get it just right. So if I want it like my brisket, I smoke it at 200 degrees for about 18 hours or so. I have to turn that knob until it says 200. What, Chris? And then it stays at 200 degrees the whole time. So is it propane? No. But somewhere along the lines, there's some form of gas providing that power. Don't act like yours is somehow superior to mine. Jesse, do you know any good podcasts I could listen to on Francisco Franco? No. Virtually all history is now created by vile communist scum who hate everything that is good and right. And I'm fascinated with Francisco Franco, with the Spanish Civil War, where Franco fought the communists and all that. I'm fascinated with the whole endeavor. But because I'm fascinated with it, I have sought out everything you can get your hands on, audio-wise, book-wise. Book-wise, there is some stuff out there, but not a lot. Audio-wise, I think I'm the only one who's ever done one that doesn't have it completely left-wing. If there's something else, I've never read it. I've never heard it at all. And I know because I listen to a lot of it. They act like the guy's Hitler and just completely ridiculous stuff. Why? Because he stopped the communist revolution in Spain. Your history professor is a communist. He wanted the communist revolution in Spain to succeed. All those communists, when they were murdering priests and raping nuns, your history teacher thought those people were the good guys. And he thought the ones who stopped them were the bad guys. This is who creates our history. What is that one podcast? I think it's American History Tellers. You would think it's just wonderful history. I think I listened to 5 minutes of one episode. Just a couple of nasty little anti-American communists crapping all over this country every chance they get. That's history now. Keep that in mind when you send Aiden, Jaden, and Braden off to school. Now, you go enjoy your weekend. It's enough politics for now. Enjoy your family. Go to church. Have a good time. Get out in the sun. Go for a walk. All the problems will visit us again on Monday, I promise. That's all.